1, or part A, of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, part 1. The scripture reading service, something God told me to do. I would have never told myself to do it, and you would have never told me to do it, because some of you people are so evil and so hateful of God and of His Word. Bored to tears during the reading of God's Holy Word. So, we would not have done this, I assure you. I would not have done it because I knew you would have been bored to tears. But even with that, I thank the Lord that there are some people, the remnant, I'm sure, God 7,000, I'm sure, they have made these three podcasts that make up this service, the scripture reading podcasts, the devotional suite is what we call it, number 1, number 2, and number 3 in our family of podcasts, so right at 50 different podcasts we do. So, that's good. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White, the third President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Daily Devotional Bible Reading episode, I believe it is 307. Yes, 307. Over here. Over here. You need to correct it. Correct. Episode number 307, where I simply read three chapters of the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day with my family as a part of our family devotions to encourage you to read the Holy Bible in a year's time with your family. And if you're single, to read the Bible yourself. Some of you are single and you're introverted, and you know, all introverted people have a crowd with them all of the time, even though they're by themselves. Introverted people are very interesting. They have so much going on in their hearts and minds and lives. And if they're Christian, they have God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Bible, and they are occupied for real. Those of you who are extroverted, you feel lonely all the time. Introverted people never feel lonely, and if you come by, and they don't even want you to come in. They never feel lonely. So if you're single and you're introverted, you're just fine. You'll pray and you'll read the Bible if you're a Christian. But if you are gregarious, if you're extroverted, then you find it difficult. You might find it difficult to pray and read the Bible, and you can join us. And we will count you as an honorary White House family member. And so many of you have done that because you have made these three podcasts, this devotional suite, number 1, number 2, and number 3, which is, I find, amazing. But we give God the glory. Today, beloved, we are reading 2 Chronicles, believe it or not, chapter 1. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 23 and Joel chapter 2. President Ronald Reagan said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. And he was right about that. Augustine of Hippo said, the Holy Scriptures are our letters from home, so we should read them. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure and joy to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, found at 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Then Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was at Gibeon to Jerusalem from before the tabernacle of the congregation and reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150. And so brought they out horses for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria by their means. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Isaiah chapter 23. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure and joy to read in your hearing the Word of God found at Isaiah chapter 23. Read and listen and take heed. Isaiah chapter 23. The burden of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished, and by great waters the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zion, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained. Sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar to Sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against the Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all of the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more replay, shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zion. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years, shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all of the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently, and for durable clothing. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Joel chapter 2. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure and joy, and I really mean that, to read in your hearing the Word of God found at Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desert wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth this word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for allowing us the privilege and the joy and the blessing to read this wonderful prophecy once again. And Holy Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to meditate on it and help us to learn more from it, help us to understand it even more. And then, Lord, help us to share your word with others and help us to proclaim and preach your gospel based upon the Holy Scriptures, so that others may come to know your Savior. And for those of us who name the name of Christ, help us to become and help us to be true Christians. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Help us, Lord, to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, and to our first works under you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this devotional suite in the scripture reading service of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, this is Daniel White III, and president of Gospel Light Society International with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 643, where I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary or some other reputable commentary or study Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, in the Word of God, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You must understand at this time they were seeking revival among God's people. And so they started with the reading and explaining and understanding of the Word of God. So therefore, the aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and prayer and getting the sense of it and the understanding of it, it is my humble prayer that the church will be revived again and that the world will be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from eternal death in that awful place called hell by believing the gospel what Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, beloved, we are reading Nahum chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your holy word. And we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, your unction, and your anointing to read and to understand your holy word, to live by it, to apply it to our lives, to obey it, and to share it with others, and to be a witness for you, Lord Jesus, with your gospel based upon your holy word from Genesis to Revelation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Verse 5, he shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. Holy Father God, give us great understanding of your holy word, of this passage that some might call difficult. Help us to see into it. And Lord, have your holy word and your Holy Spirit to see into us and to work mightily in us in these dark and difficult and perilous times. Help us to be wise as servants and harmless as doves. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Nahum chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And it reads, he, in verse 5, probably refers to the Assyrian king because he summoned his troops to defend the city wall and set up the protective shield. The exact nature of this protective covering is unknown, but somehow it protected the defenders against the attackers' stones, spears, and arrows. Several possible interpretations of the river gates have been suggested. A, fortified bridges. B, city gates near the banks of the Tigris River. C, sluice gates in dams in the city moats. But no archaeological evidence supports this. And D, breaches made in the wall by the torrential rush of water. E, floodgates to control the flow of the Kosher River that passed through the city. The fifth view is supported by the most natural sense of language and by archaeological remains. Sennacherib dammed the Kosher River outside the city and thus made a reservoir. Thompson and Hutchison report that the water was restrained by a magnificent double dam with two massive river walls at some distance from Nineveh itself. In the ruins, they found traces of the original dam gates or sluices by which the water flow to the city could be increased or reduced. So perhaps at the beginning of the siege, the enemy closed the floodgates. When the reservoirs were completely full, they threw open the gates and the palace collapsed. The waters may have also been increased by heavy rains, as Diodorus Siculus wrote. The palace may have been Ashurbanipal's palace in the north part of the city. The nation that had ruined many enemy palaces now found its own palace devastated and destroyed. The universal law is you reap what you sow. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your holy word. And we pray now that you would fill us with your holy word and your Holy Spirit and help us to obey your holy word. Help us to apply your holy word to our lives. And Lord, help us to share your holy word with others and to proclaim your gospel to others too, so that they can hear the gospel and be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for us. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional book, one of the best ever written. This is the podcast. This is episode number 253. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, chose for our scripture reading this morning 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Do you want a house for your soul? Do you ask what is the purchase? It is something less than proud human nature will like to give. It is without money and without price. You would like to pay a respectable rent. You would love to do something to win Christ. Then you cannot have the house, for it is without price. Will you take my master's house on a lease for all eternity, with nothing to pay for it? Nothing but the ground rent of loving and serving him forever. Will you take Jesus and dwell in him and love him back because he first loved you? See, this house is furnished with all you want. It is filled with riches more than you will spend as long as you live. Here you can have intimate communion with Christ Jesus and feast on his love. Here are tables well stored with food for you to live on forever. In it, when weary, you can find rest with Jesus's presence, and from it you can look out and see heaven itself. Will you have the house? If you are houseless, you will say, I should like to have the house, but may I have it? Yes, there is the key. The key is come to Jesus. But you say, I am too shabby for such a house. Never mind. There are garments inside. If you feel guilty and condemned, come, and though the house is too good for you, Christ will make you good enough for the house. By and by, he will wash you and cleanse you, and you will yet be able to say, we dwell in him. Believer. Thrice happy art thou to have such a dwelling place, greatly privileged thou art, for thou hast a strong habitation in which thou art ever safe. And dwelling in him, thou hast not only a perfect and secure house, but an everlasting house. When this world shall have melted like a dream, our house shall live forever and stand more imperishable than marble itself, more solid than granite, self-existent as God, for it is God himself. We dwell in him, a Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for this entire time together, including this devotional time, devotional reading from your servant, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who, being dead, yet speaketh, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for the gifts and talents you gave him to break it on down to us in a devotional fashion, like very few. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Help us to remember your holy word, meditate on it, help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to always be prayerful and sober-minded. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for our sake, amen.
Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son, "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed." Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on, I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.